Who would have thought? Macy's sent stock prices up. It's earning, kids. Earnings. This is the Wednesday, May 16th edition of the Business News Hour. Thanks for clicking through. In other business news headlines today, Amazon yet again? Yep, and this time it is groceries. Meanwhile, Walmart is upping their game with upscale stuff. Can they make it work this time? Turns out healthcare is, well, complicated. Net neutrality is back in the news. Oil prices to run up to 90 bucks a barrel? Could be. Those stories and more, along with a conversation about healthcare technology and copper. We picked this up while in Washington, D.C., and it's pretty amazing. We'll also be talking restaurants, technology, and more in Marketing for Business, Episode 16, with Phil K. James and Sam Owen of Tacopocalypse. The Business News is next.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of Arion, human resources, payroll, and call center help for businesses. AURION.com. AARP of Iowa. Real possibilities. AARP, Iowa. The Business News Hour, also presented by Tero International, your elite training team at TERO.com. Remax Concepts, with offices in Cedar Rapids, Nevada, Ames, and the greater Des Moines Metro. RealEstateConcepts.net. The Business News is next.
How are organizations investing in their future? Many are choosing to invest in their people in the same way they invest in new equipment, facilities, and IT systems. That is one of the wisest investments you can make. How do you determine training needs? Turn to the award-winning professionals at Tero International for a complimentary needs assessment and gap analysis. Visit Tero.com, that's T-E-R-O.com, to learn more. This is Ro from the Tero team.
RE/MAX Concepts not only understands the real estate market, their highly skilled professionals are always on duty to ensure your home buying or selling experience is positive. The professionals at RE/MAX Concepts offer you ways to beat other home buyers into the home of your dreams through the Home Finder system. Get to what is hot now. Don't wait. Learn more at realestateconcepts.net. Realestateconcepts.net for home buying and selling. Insight on Business, the News Hour, is brought to you by Tero International. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Tero. T-E-R-O.com. And the Iowa Business Journals. News and information for small to mid-sized businesses. IowaBusinessJournals.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Wednesday edition of the Business News Hour. Let's get right into it, shall we? What a positive retail move. Yeah, Macy's stock rallied by more than 10% on stronger-than-expected quarterly earnings today. The company's same-store sales, a key metric for retailers, rose by 4.2% last quarter versus an estimate of 1.4%. Yikes. Yesterday's equities were pressured by a surge in interest rates. The benchmark 10-year note yield, that hit 3.095%, its highest level since 2011, while the 2-year note traded around levels not seen in a decade. So what else happened today on Wall Street? We will check all the numbers later in the broadcast. But how about that? Retail pushes stocks higher. Amazing. Yesterday it was delivery from Amazon. Today it's groceries from Whole Foods. Today, Whole Foods debuted a much-anticipated loyalty program that offers special discounts to Prime customers, including 10% off hundreds of sale items and rotating weekly specials, such as 10 bucks off a pound of wild-caught halibut steaks. Those perks are available right now in Florida and will roll out to all other stores starting this summer. The world's largest retailer is starting to add some class to its offerings. Today, Walmart announced it will launch the Lord & Taylor store on its website in the coming weeks, with more than 125 brands like Lucky, Vince Camuto, and Tommy Bahama, reflecting its effort to broaden its customer base, stimulate growth, and compete with Amazon. Once known for everyday low prices, Walmart is now dipping once again into some upscale products. For those of us who remember, Walmart tried this over 15 years ago to some disaster as their core customer group rebelled, thinking that the discount chain had gone too stuffy on them. The time is ripe now, perhaps. Retail tends to be, however, a wild ride. You know, it's been said before, this healthcare thing, it's complicated. And now, 4 months after Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and J.P. Morgan Chase announced a new partnership aimed at bringing down the costs of healthcare, they're still having trouble finding somebody to lead the group. The organization known as ABC has been looking in New York and California, even in Omaha, for somebody to become the CEO. So far, nada, nothing. According to reports from CNBC, health policy and insurance experts were among the initial targets, with ex-Aetna executive Gary Loveman and former Medicare chief Andy Savitt on the list, along with Todd Park, who was previously President Obama's technology chief. More recently, ABC has started looking for a candidate with an entrepreneurial background in technology and health who's far removed from the drug supply companies and health plans, which are viewed as part of the problem. That, according to people who are familiar with the search but wish to remain discreet. In other words, you can quote me, but don't ID me. Stay tuned. We thought this net neutrality thing, you know, we thought that was a dead issue. But wait a minute, not so fast. Like a zombie, it has resurfaced. U.S. Senate Democrats may have scored a win today, and not many of those come around. Today, today's win on a joint resolution would upend the effort of the Federal Communications Commission to reverse Obama-era regulations on net neutrality and may be cause for some mild celebration among Democrats. The Senate voted 52-7 in favor of a motion to proceed the measure under expedited rules. Democrats, led by Senator Edward Markey of Massachusetts, picked up the support of Senator Susan Collins. The backing of the Maine Republican was known in advance, but it still underscores how close the margins are on the Senate floor. Two more Republicans, Louisiana's John Kennedy and Alaska's Lisa Murkowski, voted to proceed to the measure as well. Still, with the measure facing certain opposition in the House, it might be little more than a symbolic victory for the Democrats. It could, however, be yet another issue to motivate their voters to head to the polls in November. Just in case you've run out of things to worry about, there's a report out there that suggests by 2020, oil will top $90 a barrel. And it's not being driven by OPEC or Iran, but new rules about what kind of fuel ships use. New international rules are coming into effect that require vessels to consume lower sulfur fuels beginning in January of 2020. That, it is said, will lead to a boom in demand for middle distillate products, including diesel and marine gas oil, triggering the need for more crude. The rules from the International Maritime Organization call for ships to reduce the maximum sulfur content of their fuels to 0.5% from currently 3.5%. It's all in an effort to curb air pollution that's been linked to respiratory diseases and even acid rain. Once again, supply and demand, it doth strike. Well, not business news. This is interesting. Holocaust survivor Selena Karp Bintz, the youngest person on Oscar Schindler's list and a 1952 graduate of Grinnell College, will give the commencement address at her alma mater on May 21st. During the commencement ceremony, in which approximately 380 seniors will receive Bachelor of Arts degrees, Bintz will be awarded an honorary Doctor of Humane Letters from Grinnell. Her story was mirrored in Steven Spielberg's 1993 film Schindler's List. Silent about her Holocaust experience before the film's release, Bintz has been inspired by the movie to tell her story. The commencement ceremony is open to the public and begins at 10 a.m. on Central Campus on May 21st. That's Grinnell College. The Des Moines Register has an interesting business news about the lack of funeral directors in Iowa. Along with welders, electricians, pipe fitters, carpenters, we're now short of folks to bury other folks. And it's most telling in rural Iowa. On one hand, the National Funeral Directors Association says the number of funeral homes in the U.S. has dropped by more than 10% since 2004. Yet, the latest Bureau of Labor Statistics data project average growth nationwide for all funeral service workers over the next decade. Why? As the baby boomer generation ages, the need for funeral service workers only expects to increase. Around 86% of funeral service workers are part of an individual or maybe even a family-owned business. The pay ain't bad either. Median average salary is $56,800, although business-centric funeral service managers see salary spikes closer to $80,000 a year. That according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. However, getting young funeral operators to practice in small rural towns, it's a problem. And in some counties here in Iowa, families have to drive quite a way just to be able to use funeral directors' services. When we come back, a different story about healthcare from Todd Linden. It's something we picked up in Washington, D.C. while we were there. And what is this Iowan doing since leaving his position as the president and CEO of Grinnell Regional Hospital? This is really stunning, and it has to do with information technology, germs, and copper. We're not making that up. Todd Linden next here on the Business News Hour.